Welcome to the Bhakti Talk podcast, where we discuss the spiritual path through the wisdom ways and practices of our beloved guru, Swami Premadaya. We are your hosts, Swami Sky, and I am Ananda Dev. The Bhakti Talk podcast is presented by the International Centers of Divine Awakening. You can subscribe on our website, i-coda.org, YouTube, or any of the major podcasting sites. Today, episode number 7, we are going to discuss the power and the necessity of spiritual community. Many people are suffering and everyone is looking for and needs support and community. So, Swami Sky, let us start with one of our guru's sayings and truths. All is interdependent, all is one.
Indeed, indeed. Jai Jai Guru Dev. I've got a little throat thing today, so today should be fun. Guruji, Swami Premadaya, has often said one of his essential messages, one of his essential teachings is what you just said. All is interdependent. All is one. So we are communal creatures. We are completely interconnected, interdependent. And kind of the, not kind of, definitely the modern way, especially through quote unquote social media, we've become way more disconnected and way more isolated. You know, people primarily relate to a device now rather than relating to each other or especially whatever is going on. And essentially Mother Earth, we're so disconnected from Earth, from food, from all of our relatives, including the creatures and creepy crawlies, the plants, the sky itself. We're very, very disconnected. And one of the primary conversations that I have with people, especially on social media, Reddit, and when they message the Bhakti Talk podcast, or me directly, is how isolated and alone and desperate for support people feel. And so we really wanted to cover today because it's such an essential topic. And thank you to Gurudev, because over the years he has covered this in countless ways. One of the ways that I want to cover this is through the Fijians. One of the things that Swamiji has done for us as a community. So we're, I myself am the lineage holder at iCoda, and Ananda Dev, you're the director of iCoda Brussels. We're both formal initiated disciples of Swami Premadaya. We've been a part of the spiritual community at iCoda, which stands for International Centers of Divine Awakening, for many years now. So one of the benefits of Swami Premadaya's teaching is he has brought us around the world on spiritual pilgrimages, especially to places where love is essential and is part of the culture and the community. And when we went to Fiji, we went straight to the Fijian village of Matanesau, which Swamiji had found years prior through a set of mystical happenings. But I'll just say the thing that stood out to me the most, besides their just exuberant, joy-filled, but how connected and how much people relate to each other.
Yeah, and I would like to add that because when people hear Fiji, they think, oh, resorts and it's nice. No, we went to the rainforest, to the center of Fiji, to a very... it's a rural community and a very tight-knit community of a couple of families who live there together and very communally, which was very striking how all is interconnected, all is one, how clear and obvious it is when you're there. All is literally interconnected and one, because nature is also a big part of that feeling. Like in modern day cities, we lost that to a great extent, especially when you live in a city. the intricateness with your neighbors.
But Swamiji said that cities are the most unnatural mode of human relay. They're just completely unnatural. That's especially the way that we live in cities now. We're not part of God's plan because it's so unnatural. Please continue.
Well, now you saying that, you always give the example in one street, everyone has a lawnmower, everyone has a drill, everyone has one object that could easily be shared by everyone. It's better for everything and everyone.
Yeah, it's actually Swamiji's example that he originally. So I live in Los Angeles. You live in Brussels. So we both live in cities. I consider Los Angeles quite unnatural, considering it's in a desert. It doesn't have its own water supply, and it's so overpopulated that it doesn't even really. They're still trying to figure out how to make it function. But if you take my apartment building that I'm in now, it's like, I have an internet router. They have an internet router. They have an internet router. You have a fridge. They have a fridge. They have a fridge. You have a stove. You have a stove. And it's so incredibly inefficient. That's what Swamiji has pointed out many times. It's also just incredibly inefficient. But we're so heavily conditioned into the isolated way, into the independent. You are independent. Sure, you're an individual just like everybody else. But we're all interdependent, and we'll get into that a lot because there's such a beautiful example that was written by, I think, Greg Braden, who's an author, who's also one of the very first spiritual books I ever received from Francisco, who was on the plane, by the way, who mailed me the Osho book. When we exchanged books on the plane, he gave me a Greg Braden book, and in that book, the author talks about how interdependent we truly are. And he gives such a beautiful example and uses automobiles. So if you take one car and if you take all the parts of that car and you break them down and you find out where they were each manufactured and how they were each shipped and how they were each assembled, and then the whole car itself was shipped, and then that car was then sold and given. So if you just take an automobile and you break it down piece by piece, the way that that one item, your car, which has thousands of items that connects you to hundreds of thousands of people. Because remember, we're talking about the engineer who designed it, the manufacturer who made it, the shipping who sent it, the assembler who put it together, the salesperson who sold it to you. And then you take all of those people and just understand that hopefully they ate at least once a day. And then you take, so then you take the food that those people consumed from the restaurant, from the farmer, that any one single item can actually be tracked to the true interdependence of everyone. And that's just on the practical, you know, material level. You also take all the trees, all the water, all the animals, all the vegetables. But it is truly an interconnected existence to be alive on Earth. And then if you take that and go to the unimaginable, which is the unseen, the fact that there's the divine cosmic realm, the fact that, you know, spirit absolutely exists, because more than a human being, you are a spiritual being. That's, you know, if you were just a human being, then obviously what's the thing that animates this human being? Because there's definitely a big difference between an alive person and a dead person, and it's not just the body. So you start getting into the interconnectedness and it blows your mind. So the Fijian attitude that covers it the best for me in the village, because you're right, we lived, what we did is we went directly, we stayed at no resort. We went straight to the village in the middle of the rainforest, and they live off the land. The land provides food. The land provides water, everything. It's farming and it's fishing. And they live communally. Everybody supports in the tasks at hand. But what truly beautifully captures the spirit that I try to live with, especially as after experiencing it, and that we're all now lacking in, is when they have meals, the Fijian villagers in Metenasau, when they eat their food, you always eat facing the door with the door open, so that if anybody passes by, you can invite them in. Mm-hmm. And to me, that that attitude, we live the polar opposite. The city attitude is make sure your doors are locked, stay safe at all times, make sure you protect ourselves. That's a very different position than my door is open and anybody walking by has an open invitation. Hey, and they would do that. Hey, are you hungry? Hey, Ananda Dev, what are you doing? Are you hungry? Come on in. We're having some food. We're having a snack. We're having tea. Come on in. Tell us a story. Tell us about you. And so that communal aspect was so rich and just grew my being. Like felt the love of it. And you couldn't go anywhere without somebody yelling, hey, and your name. And inviting you.
It's funny. It's actually something I forgot, but now you mentioning it, the hey. It is also so the opposite here, where people try to avoid each other. They would never hey. Like puppy dogs. But that was all the tours were amazing gifts of our guru. But this one was indeed very eye-opening to how did we get here as Westerners. We don't have to get into that, how we got here, but more importantly, how we get out of it.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's how we got there. We could spend lots of time and energy on that. And I'm sometimes that has a value, but I think it's much, much more effective to spend our time getting out of isolation. You know, the whole spiritual path, again, one of Swami Premadaya's essential teachings is you know, the whole path is for you to be yourself. That's your mission. That's your whole path, is for you to be you. And then most of us upon that, upon embarking that spiritual journey, find out there's more not me than me. So you have to shed the not you and actually get back to what is natural. So sometimes it's helpful to figure out how we got here, but when nowadays we would spend the rest of our lives figuring out the why, and it's much more effective to get to get out of it, and you know, to get to happy.
Yeah, and the answers are so simple. Or our beloved guru, one of his core teachings: life is other people. It's so rich, it sounds so simple, and that's also so great about Swami Premadaya, that it's very practical, it's very simple, but it's so profound. Life is other people. It takes you out of your self-concern, your self-focus, and also takes you out into the world, into spirit, into the actual connectedness with other people.
It's also Swamiji has always said that the truth is always simple. So if it's complex, you can pretty much guarantee that it isn't the truth. So the truth is always simple. And part of that Zen cone, but it's just such a rich teaching. Life is other people. You can literally review that again and again. And life, it's like you got here through other people. We exist here through other people. Your existence was created through other people. You stay here. Your existence on this planet, even the people who are like super self-reliant and they've made it their life about being self-reliant, you're still dependent on everything. You don't make oxygen. Even if you make your own food, it's like you didn't create the deer that you just hunted. probably you didn't create your own tools in order to hunt the deer. You didn't create the feed, the grass, the natural grasses that the deer ate in order to become, you know, a mature animal. You know, if it's saying that you eat meat or, you know, any other version, vegetarian, whatever, it's like, you didn't create vegetables. You didn't create soil or rain or what, you know, it's like, you can't, how, like, it's so incomprehensible to me that some people will argue this interdependence. It's like, you're literally dependent on everything and everyone, and 99.9999% of people are dependent all on other people. That car that we were talking about that was built by all of those people built your car. The fuel that's refined, whether you support fuels or not, everything is interdependent on other people. So life as other people is such an incredible teaching, because you can continue to look at that and look at that and look at that, and you'll continue to get riches from it. You can actually meditate on it, and it just keeps giving and giving and giving. And I have yet to hear anybody be able to argue, prove, suggest, debate otherwise that life isn't other people. So it's one of the joys for me to celebrate in Swami Premadaya's teachings, because he just gives something so simple and it has such profound meaning, and it just keeps on giving.
Yeah, community, communal living, something we definitely lost. Mm-hmm. Then maybe it's good to now talk about, because the title we have today is The Power of Spiritual Community. So all is interconnected, all is one. Yes, absolutely. And we also are part of a very connected spiritual community.
Yeah, what a gift. What an incredible gift it is to, first of all, if you have a guru, it's already a rare happening in this human birth. First, if you look at any of the spiritual teachings and in many of the traditions, they're already tell you that this human birth is already a rare gift in existence. So just to be here as a human being is a rare gift. And then as human beings go, you know, it's rare to have a formal guru. It's just rare. There's 8.5 billion people on the planet. I don't know what percentage have gurus, but it's gotta be, it's not double digits. It's not like 20%. It's gotta be like one. It's probably less than 1%. I'm sure it's very, very rare to have a formally initiated guru disciple relationship with a living guru. That's just very rare. And of that rarity, there's also the gift and the joy of a spiritual community. But we honor all spiritual communities. So whether you have a living master or not, it's still being truly committed to the spiritual path is quite rare. And it truly is a gift. One of the things it is the materialistic, it's the worship of materialism that has pushed people into this marketing pitch of independence. That's all it is. It's just marketing, in order, you know, because what does it benefit for every single person to have every single thing? Meaning we all have what we talked about. Every single person has a blender. Every single person has a microwave. Every single person has a car, even if you're going into the same direction. To live non-communally drives commerce. Mm-hmm. So it makes some people very, very rich. So this is just a mode of sales and marketing. The truth is we are truly interdependent. Obviously, yeah. We've already covered that.
Yeah, and the life thinking you are not interdependent. It's a very impoverished way of living, and it's also a way of being, because also Premadaya also talks about a lot about that we all need massive help, massive encouragement, And it's also on a very basic level. If you're interested in something and you want to learn to know more about anything, the best resource is another person. Of course, you can read also, but yeah, what you read also comes from another person. So that is helpful. But that direct connection with another human being is invaluable. Like if you want to learn an instrument, if you want to excel in anything, sports, arts. And it's also normal that you will start to connect with like-minded people. And it's only through these like-minded people who serve as mirrors, as encouragers, as teachers, as supporters. That is actually the only real way to progress. It's something that I guess for many people hasn't always been very clear for me, because when we grew up in this societies in the West, the idea is often I do it myself. I will power right. through all by myself. But just the help, the encouragement, the words of other people, life is other people.
it's also, I love Swami Premadaya's teaching that he just said it so simply. We all need massive help. But then he adds every day. Because that, I mean, really, you let that sink in. Because everybody's like, oh, yeah, no. I get it. Sure. Yeah, we all need massive help. And then you hear him say, every day. And you're like, oh, wow, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And for some people, it might be like, oh, really? Every day? But
it is every day. That's part of the interdependence. Part of the massive help we need on just the basic level. It's just like, can you imagine if each person only did all the farming, we owe our lives to farmers. We owe our lives to beekeepers. We owe our lives to all of those people who put that car together. We owe our lives to the people who make tires. The whole world runs on compressed air and tires. We already are getting massive help, but he's also, he meaning Swami Premadaya, is expanding to that. Like, no, you as a soul, as a person, as a being, as a human, need massive help every day. And that's part of what we're starting to talk about now, which is such a wonderful topic. And I know that many, many people need to hear this, because people are so isolated. People are so confused, and they don't even know where to look. You know, a lot of us were born in the West. A lot of us are born in Judeo-Christian religions. And that's kind of our only framework as far as spiritual life is there's kind of the church. But even in that, it's like, I don't know where to look for more support or more community. Or I how I often described it, we heard our legacy holder at ICOTA, Aiden, talk about that, looking for something more. You're looking for something more, and we're not even really sure where to look. So I want that to be part of this conversation today. Helping, you know, sharing with people, we get it. Everybody needs massive help. Swami Premadaya is teaching every day. And we just would like to share, you know, how we received some of that help and some of the practical areas to look in, because we didn't even have the language to search. So we'll definitely get into that. One of the things that I think is essential in how to approach this, so it's very simple. Again, this comes from Swami Premadaya. He explained, if you want to be a footballer, well, what's the best thing you can do? Surround yourself with footballers. Find the best footballers that exist and be with those people. It's you could say like-minded people, but it's also the direction you want to travel.
Yeah.
What would be the support? So, you know, you would find whatever coaches, whatever area, whatever team, you know, you fully immerse yourself. And this is what monks and nuns and, you know, sadhus, all the spirit yogis, this is what they do. It's like whatever your spiritual path is, you absolutely need the support of community. If you're, it is your individual spiritual journey. It's yours. You have to travel it. You have to do all the work. Nobody can do your sadhana for you. And you can't go it alone. If you go it alone, then you only have you. There's no objective. There's no, checks and balances. It's such a silly way to put it. But you absolutely need the reflection of other people to learn about yourself. It's essential. It's necessary. And like you were pointing out, you need that encouragement. You need that love. So that missing element that where we can't get from watching a video or reading a handout, watching on YouTube or reading something on Reddit. So what you can't get from that is the love exchange from another person. You might have the kind of mind that can learn everything technically from watching a video or reading something, but the exchange, it's just like food. Everybody can make the same recipe, but that something extra that's in the food comes from the individual.
Yeah. And indeed, you can do all of that, but then without community, you will probably always feel like some sort of outsider. When you were speaking about what Premadaya said, then search, if you want to be a footballer, surround yourself with football players. I can imagine that someone who loves to paint, in an environment of non-painters, the question that always arises, why are you constantly painting? Do something productive. That makes you feel not good. That makes you feel, so that is also another aspect why it's so important to feel the support of people who have the same path.
It's an excellent point, because if you're on a true spiritual path, even if you're on a culturally acceptable spiritual path, if you're truly committed to it, this is my life, I'm going to live the spiritual life. You know, we call it modern day monks. You know, a lot of us at ICOTA who've been formally initiated disciples for a number of years, Swamiji has talked about, you are modern day monks. You make spiritual practice your life. You make this sadhana, the discipline, the religious life. You know, although we don't have a dogma, it's religiousness in the way that Osho refers to it. It's like we don't have a religion that we practice, but we absolutely are spiritual practitioners. We absolutely are practicing a Godward path through formal initiation, discipleship practices, meditation. And this is our modern day practice, our modern day monks. So if you're on that path, you're always going to feel like an outsider in the conventional world, because one of the practices of any true, whether it's a religious particular dogma or it's a path, whatever the path is, it will always be outside of what is conventional norm. And the conventional norm nowadays is to worship materialism and be a economic slave. So your duty as a spiritual practitioner is to get out of that. So you will absolutely be viewed as an outsider or a weirdo or something's off or something strange. And you have make an excellent point. Part of being yourself, it's not a trick of language. It is being you as you, and as an individual, it's never about the crowd. It's always about you. Mm-hmm. It is your job in this life, as Swami Premadaya says, is to be you. And you is an individual, but as an individual, you are in no way separate from anything else. Individual doesn't mean independent. You are an individual, completely unique, just like every snowflake is completely unique. I'm sure somebody out there will make a snowflake reference, calling us all snowflakes. Great. You're right. Yeah, totally. Super snowflake in the sense that you're completely unique, just like everyone else. Mm-hmm. Unique doesn't mean independent. You are unique and interdependent. You're not disconnected in any way, although you're entirely unique. The way that life works and the world works is aliveness is always fresh. It is always unique. The way that conventionality works is it wants to make you all the same so you cooperate with the system, don't make trouble, fit in. So you'll always not fit in with that system. And so therefore, having the support you're referring to of spiritual community changes everything, because you're like, you really get that it is your path that you have to travel, but you're not alone. And the support of fellow travelers on the same journey is immeasurable. It's so necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I have it here in front of me, a very important quote of Swami Premadaya: no one affects you more than who you spend your time with.
Oh man, is that true?
No one
affects you more than who you spend your time with. So that's exactly what we're talking about. If you were, you know, going back to the footballer, just because I like throwing out to the Europeans out there, and I can say footballer because the Americans will also think of football, so it just it's inclusive. So by doing that, I mean, you also can get it very easily. If this is what you want, you immerse yourself in this training. You know, you get the best trainer, you get the best athletes to compete with. But we'll throw that one out and get back to spiritual life. So if you're a spiritual person on a spiritual path and you're looking for needing support, you surround yourself with spiritual people. You know, you don't waste your time in things that are negative or, you know, in some cases very toxic. And this is how dogmas do pop up. This is how, you know, there's a whole list of what to participate in and what not to participate in the to get the maximum support of the practice of that individual path. Obviously we have a particular path, and no one affects you more than who you spend your time with. So if this is your path, you want to spend your time with people in that path, on that path, in support of that path. You know, obviously if you are wanting to be a footballer and you keep spending time with people who are like, "Hey man, football really sucks. I wouldn't, I like this," or, you know, somebody who's constantly tearing down football, you're not going to want to spend your time with that person. You know, that's somebody who's tearing down what you've dedicated your journey and path to, what you've made your decision on. It's really that simple. It's the essence of that anybody can grasp. Obviously, you want somebody who's going to, you know, you get yourself a strength and conditioning coach. You don't get yourself somebody who's going to tear down, you know, you don't spend your time with, you know, probably at the donut factory.
Yeah. And that is in spiritual life, talking for myself, that was... Was it the hardest? Well, it wasn't easy to realize, like, oh, wait a minute, like, not everyone is into this. Not everyone thinks this is great. And I found it hard to grasp initially, but then, yeah, at a certain moment, you just give up, because it's also not about convincing anybody. It's like everyone is free to like or dislike whatever they want or be into whatever they want. But then seeing how many people actually naturally dropped away, the more serious I got with my spiritual life, with seeing actually this is real, this is what I want, this is what I want to give my life to, this is where I want to spend most of my time, because this is the most valuable thing I recognize. Finally, how impossible I got to the feet of my guru, and there's a whole gathering of people who want to gather in truth, who go to satsang, which means literally gathering truth. And then naturally people start to drop away. And it's saying bye to people, losing people, people dropping away. It's all natural. There's also some sadness or some grief involved there too, of course. And that's with anything. That's
sure.
The longer you live, you go through life, and people come and people go. So,
well, not to keep using the football analogy, but I guess I will. You progress, as you get better, as you if you become a semi-pro, well, you don't really hang out with men's league amateur anymore. And as you become a pro, it's like, in order to keep progressing, you hang out with other people that are advanced and on that level. And actually, Swami Premadaya has pointed that out, that one sign or one measure, I'm always cautioned to use the word measure, because we're so programmed nowadays to be completely in competition and to be in constant achievement mode. So anytime you say measure, but you know, there is objective review. And one of the things that happens when you progress on the spiritual path is the people in your life naturally change. And the people who, you know, a simple example is when you're maturing, you know, maybe out of your 20s, and you kind of get out of this phase where you go to the pub or go to the club, or, you know, drinking is kind of your hobby. And then it's like, no, I actually want this aspect. It's like those friends who don't mature with you fall away. Well, the same is true on the spiritual path. And as you mature and as you progress, you find that the people in your life change. And, you know, again, with the risk of the mind mistaking this, you basically get better people. You you know, and they are too. If what you want to do is be the pub chugging champion, well, that's who you surround yourself with. And that's your choice. That's your freedom. We have no judgment on that. But if you want the spiritual life, and if you're truly committed to a Godward path, then nobody affects you more than who you spend your time with. So you want to spend your time with people who are also on the spiritual journey. And that is profoundly powerful. And that's also just how it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also something Premadaya has said, that if you want to progress with anything, if you want to, for instance, become the smartest man alive or woman alive, then you shouldn't always be the smartest one in the room.
Yes. That's a perfect example. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, you want to spend your time with people that are smarter than you.
Yeah.
If you want to become more intelligent, definitely don't always be the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
So that's another beautiful example of what Swami Premadaya has shared. He is the practical guru. Part of the reason why he's so practical is because of how incredibly effective he is. He gives teaching in such a simple form that you can get it. And it's one of the thing that I've heard people say the most over these years is, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And he often laughs or chuckles and comments, I'm not trying to make sense. It's not because, you know, it doesn't have to make sense, but it just so happens part of his practicality is so effective, and it keeps making sense. Then you're just like, oh, that clicks. And then you move on. Well, you take that understanding and you keep going, because there is no end to understanding. There is no end to wisdom. Doesn't have an end. It's not knowledge. It's not reading a book and like, now I got it. It's like it continues endlessly. There's always more to become aware of. Higher consciousness isn't like one, it's not a rung of a ladder that ends. It's like, it's endless. So we can always get more and more understanding. And I'm so grateful to Gurudev for his practical and simple teaching work that he has done for now over 20 years.
Mm-hmm. I want to add something to the example I just gave, because it might sound harsh. Don't always be the smartest one in the room. It doesn't mean that you have to purposely kick out the people who you think that are dumb in your life. It's not about that. It's about
no.
Yeah.
It's about surrounding yourself with people. Yeah. That it's the humble approach. Really, that message is humility.
Yeah.
It's don't worry about being the smartest person in the room. Yeah. Seek after people, those who will challenge you to grow and be better. And quite frankly, as you grow, the people in your life who are saying, hey, don't be smart, come down here and be dumb. Let's do some dumb stuff today. Those people will naturally fall away because you just prefer the people who will grow you rather than, you know, and we all do this. We all go, every person goes through this. And if you're lucky that you have a spiritual life and you'll dedicate yourself to a spiritual life. And we just want to emphasize again, the necessity of spiritual community. Another way to say it is there's always a community. It doesn't matter what you're into. If you're into, you know, model cars and Matchbox racing, I guarantee you there's a community for it. There's a community for everything. And we are communal beings and we gain so much from other people. And as you pointed out, you really, really learn from other people. But it's even if you've developed like many people have now with this whole, quote unquote, social media, even if you can learn by watching or listening, it's still the exchange. It's still what you can't explain that you get from another person. Some people would call it love. Some people would call that the divine. Some people energy. Whatever your term is for it doesn't matter. That inexplicable exchange that you absolutely need and experience from interacting with other human beings, we are absolutely interdependent and we need that from each other. We need the give and take. I call it love. I think it's very simply love because it doesn't have to be defined as what that is, but that's what tastes better in the food. It's the love that's in the food. But we absolutely need that. We need that internal growth, that being expansion from relating to other people. And you absolutely need that transmission from spiritual community, that support from spiritual community. And we can testify to our spiritual community because of how truly, truly interconnected it is, because oftentimes you'll be feeling and experiencing something and it turns out it has nothing to do with you. Somebody else in the community is going through something and you're like, and so that means they can lift you and grow you in a way that you can't explain.
Yeah. And Gurudev calls it the Sangha effect. Something happens for one person, another person picks up on it. It goes through similar changes. It's also, I think, important to point out every spiritual community has its practices. Our practice has been since the beginning, and the names change, but satsang, gathering in truth.
Yes.
That is what we've been doing. That is, I think, the first time I came was for a workshop. Then after that was a darshan. That's a transmission of the guru. But how Brahmadaya has always done it, it's a question and answer. So there's the guru. Someone comes and shares him or herself, says something that is going on. Now, the purpose is always to be your real self. And that is also something we work towards, to do that more and more and more. But what has been so, so incredibly helpful to me personally also is hearing another person share, learning from that other person, hearing that, hey, that other person is completely the same. Like the things he or she is dealing with, that's what I'm dealing with. The crazy ideas she has, oh, those are my crazy ideas. Also there, life is other people. All is interdependent. All is one. We are all so alike. And that is only one aspect that has been so helpful to me in being part of this wonderful Ikoda family, Ikoda Sangha. Also, another aspect is in this question and answer in these gatherings, also still now listening to recordings from years ago that can all be found on Premadaya TV, thanks to you, my beloved hearing yourself speak on recordings too, but even just when you start to share and hearing yourself speak out loud, it is so different to speak out loud than to just be in your head and think the things you are thinking that are important. As soon as you spit it out, you hear what it actually is about, and the weight you think it had doesn't have it, or it's maybe heavier. But it's so different to actually share and engage with other people. Real sharing, really being alive. And seeing each other's progress.
They grow you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And go ahead.
No, please finish your thought. I want to hear it.
No. It's indeed seeing other people progress, seeing your beloved brothers and sisters progress. It is what makes me also cheerfully optimistic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have an example, a demonstration of what's possible. And this is why testimony is so necessary. People actually testifying to what can actually, because some of us arrive in great suffering and deep despair, and we need that demonstration of what is possible. So you speaking, you never know the profound effect you're having on another. And then what you're also saying is absolutely essential, because you're committed to a spiritual path. So we'll at this point, we assume that if you're still listening, you're committed to a spiritual path, and you very much are wanting to hear more about spiritual community. So you're committed to a spiritual path. Without a place to actually speak out loud, to hear yourself, to have a response of qualified support, it is encouragement, but I hate to use the word encouragement because it's so much more than that. It's like we just said, the demonstration that more is possible, the reflection of others to actually learn about yourself. We do meet in the tradition of satsang. Many people haven't even heard the word satsang. So there are many spiritual communities that have the tradition of satsang, and our beloved guru's age-old tradition is question and answer. So currently at Ikoda, we have satsang fellowship, and we have Satsang with Swami Premadaya. Satsang with Swami Premadaya is what we've had for about 19 years. Satsang Fellowship came about this year. Satsang Fellowship is facilitated by myself, Swami Sky, and Aidan Sletta, which are Swami Premadaya's legacy holder in Aidan and lineage holder in myself. So we still are in the tradition of question and answer, but it's more a fellowship as in support, community support, which is facilitated by both of us, whereas Satsang with Swami Premadaya is almost fiercer, because you're meeting with the guru, and the fire and the light of the guru, although compassionate and although, certainly effective and gentle, but it also has this incredible fierceness because it's directly with the guru directly. And although it's been explained by Swami Premadaya that you get guru through legacy holder and lineage holder, it's still those are wings of the guru, and that has a different it's almost softer. It's almost I would say softer. It's like you're still getting the guru, but then to meet with the guru directly, there's such a fierceness to that, and I'm so grateful for it. But I want to make sure I'm describing it rightly. it's the joy. It's just that the frying pan's hotter. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're really speaking to Gurudev directly. And it's just as he's one of the most casual gurus I've ever met, in the sense that he's so approachable and so open and so available. And it's so, you know, his name Premadaya means the rise of love, but that love is so fierce and the light is so bright that it has a different quality. So Satsang Fellowship is a different quality than Satsang with Swami Premadaya. And beautifully, Satsang with Swami Premadaya has been recorded for 20 years. And between Satsang, Darshan, meditations, and spiritual discourse, we have over 650 videos, recordings, because there's also audio, there's guided meditations, are available entirely free on PremadayaTV.com. So it's Premadaya's teaching work is all available. He's covered every topic there is. But we really want to make people aware of the term satsang, because there are many communities. You're certainly very invited to ours. We welcome you. You're invited to Satsang Fellowship, Satsang Swami Premadaya. You're welcome to any of our events at ICOTA. They're transformational, they're powerful. And one of the things that's so beautiful is the community that has grown around International Centers of Divine Awakening and Swami Premadaya's work, Swami Premadaya's guruship and Swami Premadaya's work. The quality of community that is at ICOTA is I always tell people I want everybody to avail themselves to it, because you have such rich, sincere people who are truly committed to a spiritual path, who are very, very loving, intelligent, open, and amazingly supportive. So We have our spiritual community, but there are many spiritual communities. And one way to look for those who might be wondering is Google the word satsang, Google the word satsang teacher, and you will find an incredible community. There's also the term non-duality. Many teachers that teach non-duality have wonderful communities around them. Also Advaita Vedanta. Obviously there's people are much more familiar with the Christ-based religions, which, you know, might be non-denominational. But we certainly want to share, satsang and invite you to our beloved community.
Yeah. And it's true. Actually, every tradition has it, like just plain, simple mass.
Yeah.
It for sure grew also out of satsang. Whatever form it takes, it doesn't matter. It's always a community.
I love when you do that. You have such a beautiful way of tying things together. So when Jesus was meeting with his disciples, what we would refer to that as satsang.
Yeah.
So when they were collecting, that's when they were getting together, to listen to their master speak, that's satsang.
Yeah.
So that's what we would define as satsang. And I think it's helpful for people to have that term when they're seeking community, and they haven't quite found it yet in the avenues that they're familiar with, such as church or any of those things. I happen to be a lover. It's taken me almost all 20 years that I've been with Premadaya, I'd say about 18 for sure, maybe 19, but almost all 20 years for me to get teachings that he's given me in the very beginning. One of the first things he ever said to me was, "You are a naturally worshipful person." So worship is part of your nature. So I happen to love anywhere that there is spiritual practice going on or religious ceremony going on. So whether it's a Hindu temple, a Sikh temple, whether it's a Catholic church, I'm just happy that somebody is gathering in the name of God, and I don't care what form that is in. So I just go. Then you start, that's how you kind of start to seek it out. One of my first really, really mystical connections was absolutely with Jesus Christ in a born-again, non-denominational church. And I absolutely had a mystical experience that involved Jesus. So I happen to love all practice, even in the form of religion. A lot of people have a really hard time. I understand it. I get it. Religion is often turned into a way to organize people. It's no longer about worship. It's no longer about God. It's just about how do we, you know, organized society. And for me, it doesn't matter because my heart worships the divine in whatever form it comes in. So if you have a temple, I want to be there.
Yeah. For me also, as long as it is in the service of becoming your real self, as long as it's not about blind belief, but about actually knowing for yourself, that's also one of the teachings of our beloved guru. Just know for yourself, then any path, any tradition, it's all fine. When you were talking, it's always so great to hear, oh yeah, Pramadaya, the rise of love. And mm-hmm. Think about our spiritual community, our Sangha, that is, it's a garden where love is also growing, and it's great to be part of that garden.
It's no accident that the logo for our beloved community ICODA is a heart and infinity symbol. I mean, come on. Swami chose that in 2014. Infinity and love. So, you know, it's like if you had to actually summarize our whole community, you could actually say love rising. That's to me what's happening for everybody. It's taken us a number of years of diligent practice or sadhana. Sadhana is another word that means spiritual practice. And I enjoy before this podcast, you looked up that term and gave us the Sanskrit root. Do you want to share that with us?
Yes. But before that, as our guru would call it, sadhana is also taking out the garbage.
Oh yeah. That is truly the practice. It's like you think you're gonna enter the meadow in the sunlight. It's like, no, you're gonna take out the trash, and then eventually you'll find the door. And then you'll get out. But the actual practice is much more it's such a great way to put it, and this is how Swamiji has explained it, so I'll share with you now that it's not about getting to somewhere. It's not about gaining something. You don't gain more of yourself. It's a negation. It's negative. It's in that sense, it's very Buddhist. It's all about removing. It's about taking out the garbage. It's about getting rid of what isn't real, so only what is real is left. You know, so to become more yourself, you don't somehow go out and get a bunch of more of yourself. What you do is you get rid of all the crap that isn't you. And then what are you left with? You.
Yeah. Because you are already.
Yes.
It's all present.
You are it. It's already the case.
Yeah. Because oftentimes, and that is what the whole world of marketing is about. It's about searching outside yourself, like you become the best you by adding this and adding that and put a bit of makeup on and perfume and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, the materially worshipped life is all about selling you something. And the main thing they're selling you is you don't have the, you know, even the term be your best self. You know, this might upset some people, and that's totally fine. It's live your best life is the current spiritual marketing that's out there. Live your best life. Be your best self. Well, what's the message really there?
You are not your best self. You lack.
Yeah. It's as you are isn't good enough. You need to do better. It's a completely terrible, terrible message. What a terrible message to tell somebody, be your best self, live your best life. It means as you are isn't good enough. And you know what our primary message is? You are it already. Mm. That is, if you look at all the essential messages of all, if you boil down all the traditions, it's Osho's message that the ocean tastes salty from wherever you taste it. If you actually look at all the scripture and all, the message is always some form of you are already it. God already is. You are already that. If you look at the materialistic, it's just a twisted message of as you are isn't good enough. You are a sinner. You need to do better. Live your best life. And how you can do that is by buying this supplement and taking this course right now. It's like, no.
Another way Swami Pramodaya put it, it's taking out the garbage, it's saran wrap, layer of saran wrap, layer of saran wrap. We're all just covered by layers of saran wrap, which
And of course we can always do better. Of course, of course there's more to grow, but I can grow is very different than as you are isn't good enough. That is a terrible toxic message, and it is really messing people up, and it's sure getting them to buy the next great yoga pants and the best and, you know, meditation cushion that's going to give you the most comfort. Be your best self. What a terrible message. The truth is everybody already is their best self, even if they're the worst. If they're the worst kind of person, that's probably the best they can do at the time. So be your best self is really a twisted message that doesn't deal with facts. It doesn't deal with being responsible or mature. It's just a marketing ploy to sell you more ideas. And the spiritual path, the true spiritual path, is always about getting out of all ideas and seeing what's true and what's real. It's not to adopt new and better ideas. It's to get rid of all ideas and know the truth for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Do you still want to hear what I looked up about
sadhana? Sure. Tell me about sadhana, because sadhana is required. Sadhana means spiritual practice, but absolutely, there's no way to grow without actual practice.
Yeah. So the term sadhana comes from the Sanskrit root sadhu, meaning go straight to a goal. Sadhana is also done for attaining detachment from worldly things, which itself can be the goal. Spiritual practice.
Yeah. So detaining from worldly things would be ideas of turning you into some sort of materialism of achievement. None of this is about it. Even having a spiritual goal isn't about attainment or achievement in the way that materialism has twisted it. So we refer to our practice, you know, we talked about modern day monks, we refer to ourselves as spiritual practitioners. And I enjoy that term so much. First of all, it came from Swami Pramodaya, and he said spiritual practitioner. And the reason why he likes it so much is because it has the word practice in it. So it has a way of humbling one. And, you know, as a spiritual practitioner, it has a way of humbling because it is always about practice. And certainly part of our practice is life as other people. And if you're practicing making life other people, that has a humbling effect rather than some of the grandizing terms that are used. So again, the practical guru, because of how effective he is.
Yeah. Other people are the path to God.
Yes, they are.
A bit further. Yes.
So the benefits of a sangha and a spiritual community, we've talked about that some, but we also just want to emphasize it. Maybe we'll end this podcast with emphasizing the true benefit of having a spiritual community or experiencing the support of the spiritual community. It's the, you know, being able to speak out loud, as you covered, which is necessary to hear. When you speak out loud to a community, you're also making it a solid, it becomes solid. It becomes rock solid, because you might have an experience, but once you put it out and you actually hear yourself, other people hear you, it solidifies it in such an incredible way. It's truly on a metaphysical level. So we also need support. We need to be able to have a response, a reflection. I think a lot of what is causing problems of today is we don't relate to each other, because, you know, when you send a text message, you can't experience the energy of the other person. 80%, 90%, I think it's 80, somewhere in there. We'll say 85% of communication is nonverbal. So the whole exchange that's happening between you and others is not even through the words. And then there's what's beyond the words. So the power of being able to speak and have the place where you can feel safe and supported, it really cannot be overstated. It's tremendous and it's necessary. We truly learn for each other. We truly experience that we're not alone. And we absolutely need each other.
Yeah. Yeah. thank you so much. It's like, once again, no one affects you more than who you spent your time with. And what great time I have been spending this last hour with you, my guru bhai.
My guru brother, and indeed. Yeah, I guess we really want to extend the invitation. And just one of the things we do, because we, it's like we share so freely, we're in such support of freedom that it, to some degree, it's like we don't want to even influence other people. We just share. And that's not what we're not here. We're not looking to influence anyone. We're just looking to share and relate and transmit the wisdom and knowledge that Guruji has given to all of us, but also that we've gained from our own spiritual journey. But we go too far with it to this point where we don't even invite people to our own community. So we want to turn that into a celebration and extend the invitation and absolutely share and shout out how much we've received from our beloved guru, Swami Premadaya, how much this International Centers of Divine Awakening has truly given to us. And now we are facilitators at this center. And we very much want to invite people that if we can ever be a support to you in any way, you're certainly invited. You're welcome to come to Satsang or any of our spiritual growth seminars or any of our transformational programs, which are truly profound and life-changing. And we're at the point where we need to start sharing with people the true transformation and celebration that our lives have become. And we're still not looking to invite. We fully support all freedom, but we can also extend the invitation to let you know, wow,
yeah,
has this been profound and effective? And you're most welcome to ICOTA.
Yeah, and any question you have, whatever reason you have to come and have a look, you can just sit and listen. You can participate. You can ask your most
burning spiritual questions.
Also less burning spiritual questions. You can come with anything you want. We are there, spiritual fellowship. The wonderful Swami Sky and the wonderful Ada Sletta are leading spiritual fellowship and also the spiritual growth seminars. It's amazing. And indeed, you just come, you check it out, and feel us out, basically.
you can also Matt, we don't say this, feel the love, that's a good way to put it. You can also, we don't say this very often either, because we encourage you to be with each other rather than spend time on social media. But you can also message us on Reddit and all the social, we're on Facebook and Instagram, all the social media platforms. You can also send us direct messages through the website. Besides this podcast, there's incredible wealth of spiritual quotes, spiritual teachings. There's spiritual question and answer written on our website. There's Swami Premadaya's book and more books to come. There's online courses which you can participate in, which you can you also are facilitated by a advanced certified ICOTA practitioner, so you get to interact with them. There's so many ways that we have focused on making Swami Premadaya and Swami Premadaya's work, spiritual work, available to people. we haven't really focused on letting people know. We focused on the structure and we focused on the events. We focus on who shows up and relating to that person. We haven't done a lot of work on marketing that because we're always concerned with what we're offering and who we're offering it to. But we're doing a lot more effort to make sure that you know what is out there and how invited you are to that, how most you're most welcome. If we can be of a support in any way, there's countless ways to get in touch with us, and we would very much love to hear from you.
The well is open. Feel free to come and drink at i-coda.org.
Indeed. Well, I think that wraps up another phenomenal way. I agree with you. It's such a joy and a privilege to spend time with you, my beloved brother, my guru bhai. I love chatting with you. It's part of my spiritual community that lifts me forward and makes me a better footballer. You're definitely part of that. And I thank you for that.
Yeah. Mm. The Bhakti Talk podcast is presented by International Centers of Divine Awakening. We invite you to check out our full calendar of spiritual growth events and transformational programs, as well as our free spiritual wisdom library, including over 650 full-length recordings from Swami Premadaya, our beloved guru. Visit i-coda.org. Thank you for listening. We give gratitude to you and honor your spiritual path. Thank you to our beloved Sangha for your support. And most ecstatic, thank you to our beloved Guru, Swami Premadaya. Your wisdom and practices continue to be the transformational light on the spiritual path. Jai Jai Premadaya.
Jai Jai Swamiji.